We're joined now by Stephen. As I said, how's it going?
Fine, thanks. Good morning.
Thanks for joining the show. So I will ask, what's the importance of the Montreal Protocol? What does it mean in like a tangible sense, and how does the UN aim to make a difference in healing the ozone?
Well, the Montreal Protocol, as you said, was a very successful treaty arrangement, international arrangement undertaken in the 80s. And what it did was it stopped what was a rapid deterioration of the ozone layer and meant that within about 15 years, the ozone layer had stabilized and is now slowly recovering. So if we hadn't done that, by now, we'd be in serious trouble in terms of not having that protection from the sun's ultraviolet rays.
Absolutely.
That the planet's had. Yep.
So the treaty itself kind of led to the eradication of using ozone-depleting substances. What are some examples of these that were used throughout the 80s and aren't so common anymore?
Well, there were a range of chlorofluorocarbons, some of which were very bad for ozone, and they were phased out and replaced with new ones that were developed at the time that don't destroy ozone nearly as much.
So what were they kind of present in? Like how common, like were they in deodorant cans, or were they what used mostly to fuel, I don't know, large machinery or stuff, or was it anything and everything?
Right. This is mainly refrigerants. So this would be in your refrigerator, your air conditioner, the gases that are used to pump the heat out.
I see. Cool. And they're by and large being kind of eradicated around the world now from being used?
Yeah, well, in countries like the U.S. and Europe, they were phased out very quickly. It took longer in parts of Asia, but now I think pretty much all of the bad ones are gone and they've been replaced by ones that don't destroy ozone.
Oh, that's good to hear. As far as the ozone goes, I think like when I was at school, so 7-8 years ago, or maybe even younger when I was in primary school and such, it was ozone this, it was ozone that, and possibly that was because kids of my vintage maybe couldn't grasp the idea of global warming in a larger sense. But should we be more acutely aware of the kind of ozone or protecting the ozone like we're starting to do already? Because what kind of effect, if it were to deplete further, would it have on, say, us as Australians?
Well, I think it looks like we kind of solved the ozone problem. We've phased out those bad things, and now we're facing a much bigger, harder one, which is global warming, which requires doing something similar, but for carbon dioxide emissions, which is obviously a lot harder. These are two separate problems.
So
a lot of people talk about the Montreal Protocol as an example of what we could be doing for climate.
Right, I see. And was that addressed then yesterday, or I suppose probably a couple of hours ago in the Northern Hemisphere, to maybe shift away from really trying to address the ozone, because we've done that somewhat successfully so far, and shifting it towards climate change in a more holistic sense?
Well, this is what we've been trying to do, yeah, and try to leverage off that agreement. And it is true that the ozone-depleting substances are also greenhouse gases.
Right.
So there was a benefit for climate from getting rid of them as well as for the ozone layer.
I see. And how far away are we from potentially doing that? I don't expect you to go into the politics of all of it and all that kind of stuff, but is it slightly misguided to think that we could be there in 10 minutes, 10 years, I should say, sorry? Or, I don't know, is it just unfeasible at this point?
You mean for emitting bringing down carbon dioxide emissions?
Yeah, if something to the effect of the Montreal Protocol and stuff was to say, hey, listen, let's not do that. Is the damage already done? Is due to, I don't know, the way the world works and people that have vested interests in retaining kind of the use of them so far for whatever business ventures they've got and such. Is it misguided to think that we could address it and we could go in the right direction?
Well, I think we have to. I don't think we have any choice with respect to carbon dioxide. The world would become a difficult place to live on if we didn't eventually bring down our carbon emissions and replace. And we know we have the alternative technologies to do that. It's just that it has to be done. It's a question of how quickly we can do it. The faster we do it, the better off we'll be.
I see. So it's good news for the ozone layer, but hopefully meetings like this from UN members and such can address the larger issue. Thanks so much for joining us this morning, Stephen. I do appreciate your time.
Okay, Jared, have a good day.
And you, cheers. That was climate scientist Professor Stephen Sherwood from UNSW discussing the World Ozone Protection Day. Thankfully, we've made some steps in the right direction, and hopefully we can continue to do so when it comes to the bigger picture of